Blog Talk Radio. Testimony, but I thank and I praise God that I know Jesus for myself. Yeah. Amen. We're going to bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this beautiful day, this sunshining day, Lord God. We thank you for life, Lord God. We thank you for health. We thank you for strength. We thank you, Lord, for just waking us up in our right mind, Lord God. God, just giving us a mind to come into the house of God on this morning to give you glory, to give you praise, to magnify you, to lift you up, God, to give you all the honor that is due only unto you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for how you have blessed us thus far on today. God, how you just keep on making ways out of no way, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for how on this morning you allowed the flood waters to recede, Lord Jesus. Because I remember a couple of days ago crossing up and down here, I couldn't see the grass. I couldn't see steps on doorways, Lord God, but you saw fit, God, to dry it up and let it run back, Lord God. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing, God. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just move me out of the way. God, that you would be able to have your way in me. God, I ask that you would just speak right now, Lord, to your people, Lord God. Let it not be any words coming from my mouth, God, but let it be your unadulterated word, Lord Jesus. God, you know what your people need on this morning. And I ask that you would feed them, Lord God. God, that you would give them the breath of life, Lord Jesus, that would allow them to run on just a little further, Lord God. That we would be able to come together and see what the end shall be, God. God, and I just ask that you would remove any nervousness out of the way. I rebuke the hands of the enemy right now in any way that he decides that he wants to rear up his head to keep your word from coming forth, Lord God. I pray your blessings and your healing upon this house, Lord Jesus. God, I pray for those that had a desire to be in the house on this morning that but couldn't, Lord God. And as Elder Morgan already stated, God, we dispatch your word even to those individuals right now in the name of Jesus. Now, God, I just ask that you would allow me to sit down, Lord Jesus, that you would be able to rise up within me, God. And it is in the matchless name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Like Sister Green stated, I'm not a stranger. I feel quite at home when I come here. And I just bless God for another opportunity to be standing before you and in your presence. I thank and I praise God for the invitation. I praise God to you, for you, Elder Morgan, you know, for just allowing me another opportunity to come here before your flock. It's not something that I take lightly. You know, and I know with most pastors, you don't let any and everybody just come to your people because you don't know what they going to say, what they going to do. So you have to be careful. So I don't take it lightly. Amen. Giving honor to Elder Morgan, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Giving honor to Sister Morgan in her absence. Let her know I've been praying for her. Amen. Looking forward to a speedy recovery. You know, just blessing and praising God, like I said, just for being here because I didn't have to be here. And it's not because I would have said no to the invitation, but it's just because of the many things, you know, that we face in each and every day, the things that we see, the things that we take for granted. I didn't have to be here before you today. God didn't have to see fit to allow me to even see this day. But I give him all of the glory, all of the honor, because for whatever reason, he said, I'm going to let you run on because I still have work yet for you to do. And I thank and I praise God for being in a place where he can say, I still have work yet for you to do. I still want to use you. And I thank him for this opportunity. You know, I've just been in thinking and talking a lot lately, you know, just about the ways of the world and the state that things are in. And I don't know, I just have to pray. Have to do a lot of praying when I turn on my TV, when I watch the news, when I hear the conversations of, you know, the struggles that other people are having, when I look at the turmoil and the chaos that the devil tries to bring even into my own life. You know, I just have to say, Lord, you know, I have to give it all over to you, because there's nothing that I can do about it in and of myself, but I know that you have all power. And so I give all of these situations to you. And I begin to think about how when my grandparents were alive, when I was a younger girl, you know, I remember hearing them say to people all the time, you know, we're living in the last days. Or they would say, the Lord is soon to come. He's on his way back. And they would warn people about the tribulations and the perils and the trials and the things that the Bible had told us would come to pass, the things that the Bible has already warned us would be, so that everybody that had an ear knew that we needed to be ready. Not just for the rapture, but just whenever the Lord decided to take you home, they spread the word that you needed to be ready. And that's something that, you know, as I go to different churches, as I'm, you know, out and about, because I love the fellowship, I don't hear a lot of that coming across the pulpit anymore. You know, I used to, back in the day, do a bunch of fire and brimstone, you know, preaching, you know, telling people, warning them, helping them to be prepared for the things that were to come. Even when I hear people of God witnessing to other people of God, it seems to be a part of the equation that we have allowed to escape the witnessing and the effect of what we're supposed to do concerning God. Now, don't get me wrong. He is good, and we need to let the world know that he is good. But we also have to give them the whole truth so that they're prepared and ready. You know, I think about how many times I turn on my TV and I'm watching TVN and all of these other preachers and shows, you know, church shows that are on. And I said, I don't know how we got into the prosperity, the blessing. You know, they talk about it, the blessing minister, and he's good. You give $7, he's giving you 70 back, and all of this stuff. And it's like, you know, people are not prepared and ready for the trials of life. The trials of life that we have to face, the things that we have to suffer, the things that we must endure. And when people get saved, they come on this side thinking it's going to be all howdy, howdy. Glory, glory. That you always going to have a dance and a shout. That you always going to be ready to say hallelujah and praise the Lord. They don't think that there are going to be times when you're going to have tears. When you're going to be wondering, asking the Lord, why? When you're doing all that you can, the best that you can, and yet and still it seems like with every step that you take, the enemy is there to pull you 2 and 3 steps back. That part of the ministry seems to have escaped us. And when I looked in the Word, you know, I said, well, it's not taken out the Bible. I mean, it's still in there. If I flip to the right part, I see, you know, that the Word says that those that live godly must suffer persecution. That's the Word. And so we have to take all of the Word, not parts and pieces, not the parts that sound good to us and just apply those areas, but we have to take the whole Word and be prepared to apply the whole Word to our lives. And as I look around, we can't seem to pay attention to what's happening in the spiritual, because the enemy has us too focused and too caught up with what's happening in our natural. Too much stuff going on, not just out there in the world, but right here in our own front doorsteps, in our own personal lives. The pressure is on, saints. We're in the last days, saints. We've been weighed down and we're being distressed from every angle, every side, every direction, so that we will break. That's the goal. The enemy wants us to break. He wants us to stop in our tracks and turn back. He's putting the pressure on so that we will lose our faith. And how many of you know that the Word of God says that without faith it's what? He's putting on the pressure so that we will lose our faith and turn away from God. But we can't afford to let go now. If there is ever any time that you needed the Lord, I want you to know that that time is right here and it's right now. We can't afford to let go of whatever it is of God that we're holding on to. So we have to stand the test, and we must endure. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. And I'm going to read verse 13. And it says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. If you endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Now, I don't even have to go into the rest of all of what the text says. I mean, I can. I want y'all to read Matthew 24 when you get a chance in its entirety. It's a long book, but if you get a chance, take a look at that entire book. But if you just look at that one verse within it, says, it says, if you are able to endure until the end. Didn't say halfway. Didn't say start, make a start. He said endure until the end. And anytime that it comes to something dealing with endurance, that means that you have to have patience. You have to have stamina. You have to be willing to press through. You have to be willing to work through in order to endure something. That means you have something pressing back against you that you're having to press against in order to make your way forward. So just in that one verse by itself, how did we think and get to the rationale and the mentality that being saved was going to be easy? He that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. If we want to be saved from all of this, I want you to know you've got to get a real good grip. And that's what I want to encourage you to do on this morning, saints of God. Just plain and simply, get a real good grip. I'm not talking about a little flimsy grip, you know, I'm barely holding. You need to get a real good grip. Get a real good grip on what, you may be asking. Get a good grip on your faith. Get a good grip on your trust. Get a good grip on your relationship and your dependency on God. Because if you let go right about now, all of your labor will be in vain. Going to read a little more of Matthew chapter 24 to you. It says, read 3 through 10. And it says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Any of that sound familiar? Isaiah 5 and 20 reads, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Anybody recognize and realize that we living in a world that's real twisted and got stuff way backwards? Everything that the word of God says should not be, they saying, yeah, it's all right and it can be. Woe unto those that call evil good and good evil. They got a problem with the church because the church want to stand for the word of God and tell people what's right and what's wrong. And then they tell you, oh, you teaching legalism and you're doing this. And no, I'm telling you what the word of God says. But people don't want to hear about what God says anymore. Everybody want to do their own thing and be their own God and dictate what's okay and what's not okay. 2 Timothy 4 and 3 reads, for the time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, Elder Morgan, hold on, let me finish reading that. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Elder Morgan. Now, I'm sure you probably sitting up here thinking right now, you know, if you could count the people that have come and gone out your door because they had a problem with the word of God that you were preaching over this pulpit. because they didn't want to hear again the sound doctrine of the word of God. So they decided they was going to pack up their bags and they was going to go somewhere else to somebody else's church that was going to be all right with whatever it is that they were doing. We're living in the last days. We're wondering why congregations at certain churches are blowing up and getting big, and it seems like every week, they're getting hundreds of thousands of people joining in and adding in. But my question is it anything goes church? Or is it a Bible goes church? It makes a difference. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, but that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." You remember folks that growing up and up until this point seemed like they was always in the church and saved, and every time you looked at them they was talking about something about the Lord, and they was on their way to church and they was at every service, and if their church wasn't having service they was at somebody else's church having service. But now they sitting at home saying it don't take that no more. It don't take all that. God knows my heart. I don't have to do all that no more. The Bible proclaimed that there shall be a great falling away first. My goodness. 2 Timothy, and I read the 3rd verse, but the 4th verse says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." That means false stories. I see people all the time get up and they're preaching and they never reference anything in the Word of God. They telling you life stories, life experience. They telling you jokes. They telling you all kind of things, but they don't tell the Word of God. Fables. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Does any of this sound familiar right about now in this day and time that we're living in? You know, and if we come away from the scripture and just look at truly the day and time that we're living in, you have airplanes with hundreds of people that can just vanish into thin air. Still looking for them. Jumbo jets, 727s, and I don't even know how large and how many tons those things are, but nobody can seem to find where this airplane disappeared and dropped out of the sky. They just know it just disappeared and all of the hundreds of people with it. We got airplanes that are being, with a couple of hundred people on them, that are being intentionally grounded. I didn't like what my life was like, so as a pilot, I'm going to take all of y'all down with me. Almost 150 people professing Christ were slaughtered in Africa over at the university. They went through and they found everybody. Who say that you're Christian? You believe in Jesus Christ? I'm just going to blow your head off. Almost 150 people that they slaughtered in Africa. You think about Ebola, killing thousands. We were worried about it because it came over here on this side, but the numbers that they had over there within, a six-month period, you talking about they had, 5,000, 6,000 was the last number that I heard that disease itself was wiping out. You don't hear a whole lot about AIDS anymore because you got all this other stuff running around. The other day I was watching TV and they started talking about some chikungunya. I was like, what in the world is that? They just making up stuff. But it's a whole lot of stuff that's going on. You know, I think about all of the different kinds of cancers that are spreading through the body. You know, it just seems to be running rampant, coming out of everywhere. They can't figure out where it's starting from. What's causing? One minute it's the food, one minute it's the microwave, one minute it's bottled water, next minute they don't know where it's coming from, but it's just running rampant throughout the bodies. You know, I just read this morning that Senator Biden's son passed away at the age of 46 due to brain cancer. You know, it's just a whole lot of issues, sicknesses, going on within the body. And I think about how ISIS, the group over there in Iraq or wherever they are, how they are taken to public videos and they showing the stuff on the news and on YouTube, or how they just grabbing up people and taking pride and slaying these people, cutting their heads off, torturing them, doing all of these things because they have an issue with America. And if they say they're Christian, that's a whole other ball game that you run into. You know, when I think about the pastors and the preachers that are being gunned down in their homes, some of them not even making it out there, they getting gunned down in the church. Because people have issues with the word of God, with the men of God. Well, they preaching the word, you know, they have issues with the preachers and the pastors. And it used to be a time when there was a high regard and a high respect for those that were laborers on the word of God. You got preachers and pastors getting caught with other women that ain't their wives. Some of them took it a step further. They getting caught with other men. You got the increased rate of suicide amongst the rich and famous. The folks that are filthy rich, they got all the money and they supposed to have it all made. All the things that we striving for, you know, trying to attain the good houses, the good cars, the nice jobs, you know, so that we can have some things. They have all that stuff, but they don't have a peace of mind. They have everything that money can buy, but yet there's something still within them that's falling short. They make them feel like their lives are not worth it. That it's not worth anything, so they just take their lives. Parents killing their kids and stuffing them in freezers in the basement. Did y'all hear about that? Killing your own child and then stuffing them down in the basement freezer. And you going on with your life like ain't nothing happened. Kids killing other kids just because they want to know what killing feels like. Caught up in the video games. Shooting and bang-banging and getting points for however many cops they can kill and all these different things that's going on in the games, and they decide, I want to see what it feel like in real life. So they just plot and take out something and decide that they're gonna kill somebody. Floods are all around us. Earthquakes everywhere. Volcanoes erupting that have been inactive for over half a century, but now all of a sudden they're flaring up. We got avalanches falling and smothering all the snow, landslides killing people. We have blizzards in the middle of spring. We got mudslides, tsunamis wiping out almost the entire country that the water is overflowing. People calling these things global warming instead of realizing that it's part of God's warning. Not global warming. You can put that name on it if you want to, but if you know the word of God, you understand that it's God's warning to let us know that the end times is coming a little closer and that we're nearer to that time. Let me bring it a little closer to home. Some of you are in positions where your backs are against the wall, where you are facing your Red Sea and Pharaoh's army is right behind you. You look to your left, you look to your right, you have nowhere to turn. You look ahead and there's nowhere for you to go. You've got more month than you do money. Some are jobless. Some are almost homeless or homeless. You got kids on drugs. You got spouses cheating that are walking away from the marriages that they profess to love until death do us part. All right, all right. You got those that have health that are failing. You got cars that are barely running. Houses that are barely standing. Everything that could go wrong right about now in your life is probably going wrong. Someone is slipping on this morning. Somebody is barely holding on to that thread, and you need to get another grip. Some need to get a new grip because what you started with is no longer able to sustain and to keep you. I think about how David said in Psalm 73, I believe it was, that he said his foot almost slipped when he looked at the ways of the wicked and how they prospered and how it seemed like they were getting ahead. He said his foot almost slipped. David, the anointed one, anointed as a child to be the king of the kingdom, the same David who Jesus came down through his lineage, he said, my foot almost slipped. He was chased through the wilderness by Saul. I mean, he had his victories with Goliath, and he did all that, but he was chased through the wilderness by Saul. His son Absalom was after him because he wanted the kingdom. You know, he had the issue, the affair with Bathsheba. He said his foot almost slipped. He said until he went into the house of God and he realized the glory of God. And some of us have gotten into that place. We haven't said anything. We just running on acting like everything is cool and copacetic, like we don't have any issues. We saying hallelujah, we saying praise the Lord, but our foot is almost slipping. We right there at the brink, right there on the edge. Lord, I don't know today if I'm going to be able to make it. If you put one more thing on me, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to endure. Lord, if you allow one more thing to come upon me, I'm going to throw up my hands. Because, see, you're supposed to be the God, the great God Almighty. You know, you're supposed to be my shield and my buckler. But, Lord, all of these things that you're allowing to come upon me, my grip is getting a little weak. My grip is getting a little shaky. My grip is not as strong as it used to be. I think about how we were watching a show a couple of weeks ago called American Ninja, and it put me in the mind of when I was in school, at least, we used to have the jungle gym up there, the jungle balls, the balls, the monkey balls, that's what it's called, the monkey balls up there. And my oldest daughter, she loved hanging on those monkey balls. And I thought about how as long as you're on those monkey balls and you can go real fast, you can get your good grip and you can keep going as long as you go real fast. But if there is any hesitation or if you have to slow down at any moment, your arm starts shaking because that strength is leaving. Your hands start getting a little sweaty because you're trying to hold on as tight as you can, and you start feeling your hands slipping bit by bit. God is telling us on this morning that it is time for us to get a really good grip. And when you think about that monkey ball and how you hanging up there on those monkey balls, the reason why it's a struggle, the reason why it's a problem is because of the weight. Your arms and your hands are trying to sustain the rest of your body, but the rest of your body don't weigh nowhere near what your hands and your arms weigh. So the weight that you're carrying, the weight of your body being pressed upon your hands and your arms, is dragging you down. The weight of the problems that you're facing, the weight of the situations that is standing in front of you, the weight of the enemy being pressed on and being torn on every side, is what's dragging us down. Gravity is what they call it. But I thank and I praise God for knowing on this morning that I can get a new grip. Seems like when you on those monkey bars and you get stuck and you start getting a little motion so you can swing on to the next bar, and when you find yourself reaching out to that next, if you can just make it to that next bar,
all right,
to establish yourself with a new grip, all of that shaking and your hands still might be sweaty, but you got a new grip, so you feel empowered so that you can move on. And that's what God wants us to do on this morning. We don't need to stand still and just allow the enemy to beat up on us and to whoop us and to drag us down and to take us down with everything that he's facing and putting in our faces. God said keep moving and get a new grip. This is how we've allowed the natural things going on in our lives to affect us spiritually. Some are barely holding on to God. Barely holding on to God. Some no longer know if he can or if he will. Can you imagine being in that place? God, I'm not sure. I know I'm supposed to have faith. I'm praying. I'm talking to you. But I don't even know if this is your will. Not that you asking and want anything out of his will, but you just saying, Lord, just because the doubt is there. I don't know if you can or if you will. At least not do it for me. You might not. You might do it for all the rest of them, but based on what I see going on in my life, you might not be able to do it for me. Your faith is shaky. You're double-minded and unstable. That's what James said.
Yeah.
Double-minded and unstable. But hold on. Don't let go. It's time to get a real good grip. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast. I don't care what tide. I don't care who else decides they're going to get up and walk out that door. I don't care what family member decides they're going to turn their back on you. I don't care what your job situation looks like. I don't care what's going on in your house with your kids. He said, be steadfast.
All right.
and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you don't know anything else, and if you can't do anything else, you can always do something for the Lord. He said, and know that your labor is not in vain. Whatever you're doing for the Lord and in the Lord, it's going to pay off. You might not feel like it right now. It may not seem like it right now. But serving the Lord will pay off. And they said after a while. But you know, I love that song. And even though they say it's after a while, I believe that serving the Lord pays off now and it pays off later. We don't have to wait until the other side to see the payment of the Lord. But we can serve him and see the payment right now. Help is on the way. In God we have hope. 1 Peter 5:10 says, But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And the part about that verse that just really stood out to me, he says, in a little while, after you have suffered a while. So he knows you're suffering. He knows it. He sees it. But will you endure? Will you be able to stand the test? Will you be able to continue to stand for him as you go through? Will others be able to look at you and watch you go through and know you going through and see the glory of God still resting and ruling and abiding over your life? How you are allowing God to take you through and to keep you through it. He said, and yet a little while there is hope. And yet a little while God is going to step in and take control. And yet a little while, after you have suffered, after you have suffered, he says, I'm going to make you perfect in your suffering. I'm going to establish you through your suffering. I'm going to strengthen you through your suffering. I'm going to settle you through your suffering. Just go through it a little while. And you may feel like this morning I've already been suffering for quite a long time. But see, it's just a little while with the Lord. It's something about when you think about the fact that God thinks enough of you. The word said that he won't put no more on you than that you're able to bear. So sometimes I'll be like, Lord, you know what? You must think I'm a strong somebody. Am I an ox or a mule in your sight? Because to me, I don't feel like I can take all of this. Oh, but it's just something about the reassurance and knowing that God has that trust and that faith in you. To say she can handle it. She can make it. She's going to get up and take that next step today. She's going to lay down. She's not going to take down. Look at Job. The word of God says that that God asked the devil, have you considered my servant Job? All that Job went through, all that Job suffered through was because of God. He allowed it. And every time Satan went back to him and said, okay, let me try this, that didn't work. But I guarantee you, if you let me do this, then it's going to take him down. God said, go right on ahead. Because God had that kind of faith in Job. Job had that kind of faith in God, but God had that kind of faith in Job. That he knew no matter what the devil tried to put up on him, Job was going to be steadfast, he was going to be unmovable, and he was going to continue to work in the Lord. He's going to work things out, so all we need to do is hold on a little while longer and get a real good grip. Don't worry about what you're facing and what you're going through. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. We have to remember what Jeremiah 11:29 says. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He knows the plans that he has for us. And even when the plan doesn't go according to our plans, when his ways are not our ways, when he's not seeing what we think we ought to be seeing, We have to develop that Job mentality. Job said in Job 13 and 15, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job wasn't foolish about what was going on in his life. He knew exactly what was taking place and what was going on. He knew exactly who allowed it. And he said, though he may slay me, he being God, though he may slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. Because at the end of the day, whatever the plan is, whatever the plot is, whatever the foresight is that God has for us and in our life, it's better than anything that we could have planned for ourselves. So though he may slay me, yet will I trust him. He will give you peace in the midst of your storm. You say, what you talking about? Isaiah 26 and 3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And you know, it's that little tail end of that verse that people often leave out. They say, oh, he'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. But how's your mind going to be stayed on him if you ain't trusting in him? That's the only way that you're going to have peace in this latter hour, is that you have to trust in God. You have to know that you know upon which rock, the solid rock that you're standing. So even if your foot does get a little weak, even if it does get a little greasy up under there, little baby oil is feeling like, and you want to slide back, you got to know whom of which upon you stand and where your trust is placed. You can hold your head up, and you have to know that he is God and that he's God Almighty. You don't have to walk around here with your head hung down. I don't care what's going on. You can hold up your head. Psalms 121, 1 and 2 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. If you're going to put your trust in anybody and anything, it ought to be the maker, the creator. He made you. He made the heavens. He made the earth. Everything that's going on around you, he did that thing. So you can hold your head up and still proclaim, I don't care what's going on in my life, I yet serve a mighty God. God is yet able to keep me, to strengthen me. He will strengthen you because your hope is in him, and he will deliver. Psalm 31 and 24 reads, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And then Psalm 34 and 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. It didn't say out of some of them, one or two of them. He didn't say half of them. He said, but the Lord will deliver you out of all of them. So in that, people of God, we should be able to have some hope. In those things, we ought to be able to get another good grip. He's able to sustain you and to keep you from falling. Ask me, how do I know that? Jude 1 and 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's going to be happy about the presentation. See, we don't allow the devil to beat us down and whoop us over our heads because where we been, where we come from, what we doing now. But the Lord says that he is able to keep you from falling. We don't have to fall. We don't have to slip. We don't have to trip. He is able to keep you from falling. He's able to do all things. That's what we said. God is able to do it. So why can't he keep you from falling?
All right now.
And present you with exceeding joy. He got his head held up, chest stuck out. Look at my proud presentation of my people. Exceeding joy. But you've got to trust him through the process. You've got to be able to trust him through the storm. You've got to trust him through the trials and the tribulations. No matter what is going on in your life and in this world around us, we've got to trust him. The word of God says in Psalm 20 and 7, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We might not can relate right now to horses and chariots, but see, some trust in your job. Some trust in your car to get you back and forth. You might be trusting in Elder Morgan. You might be trusting in me, mama, daddy, honey, whoever all else. But if you know like I know, your trust better be in God. Because the word of God lets us know that he will never leave us or forsake us. He said he'll never let you down or turn his back on you. So you better have your trust in the Lord. We've got to get a real good grip on the one somebody that can help us now and that'll help us later. The one that can deliver us right now. And even if he don't deliver us right now, we got to have the mind of the three Hebrew boys. If he don't do it, I know that he can and he will. And because of the fact that I know that he can and he will, I'm going to yet praise him right now in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the circumstance. In the, they can turn it up seven times, but I'm going to yet praise him because I know that he is able. And because he's the kind of God that he is, you remember what the Hebrew boys, they said when they came out, not only were they not burned, but they didn't even smell like it. Clothes weren't scorched. They didn't look like none of what they had been through. And that's the God that we serve. I look at my sister here, and she and I heard and have heard her testimony about her going through the cancer and the treatment. But I think and I praise God, she can raise her hand and say, I know I don't look like what I've been through. If some of us knew the stories of half of the people, for real, if we were willing to share what's been going on in our lives, we don't look like what we've been through. It's not because of any goodness of our own. It's not because of Mary Kay or Mac or any of those things. But it's because of the glory and the grace and the blood of Jesus. He said that he would do it. He's promised us a worry-free, a problem-free, a crime-free life in a world to come. He didn't say it was going to be on this side. Because he said if you live godly on this side, you must suffer. But he told us what he expects. If we can just endure. If we could just get another good grip. If we would just hold on a little while longer. See what the end is going to be. With all that's going on and knowing that there's more and worse to come, somebody is asking, how do I get a good grip? Well, if you haven't caught on by now, our staying and sustaining and keeping power comes from the word of God. That's all I've given today is just straight word. And I can find so many other scriptures in the word of God that is able to uplift and sustain us and to keep us. But we got to get in the word. It's not Elder Matt Morgan's responsibility to come in here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday, Bible study, whenever y'all do Bible study. That it's not just his job to be the one laboring in the word, searching the scriptures, you know, thumbing through and trying to get to make sure that he's delivering a good word for you. But God gave you the ability to read for a reason. He gave you the ability to search through all of these wonderful thesauruses and the amplified versions and all this stuff to make sure that you are able to get understanding. And his word said that if you lack wisdom, if you want understanding, all you have to do is ask for it. So there is no excuse. You don't have to wait for a phone call from your sister. She ain't come. She know I'm going through. She ain't called me, ask me if I want to pray. Oh, Dana, these church folk, get in your word.
Your word.
Get your grip.
Yeah.
Do what you need to be doing in order to be sustained. We have to be rooted and grounded in the word. And that's why they press so hard in the Old Testament. They always say, hide the word in your heart. They would tell, hide the word in your heart. What does that mean? Commit it to your memory. You need to know it. Like you, we memorize songs and all this other stuff. You need to know the word of God. Because whether or not you realize it, understand it, believe it or not, the time is going to come when you're not going to be able to carry this around. We're in that time. You ain't going to be able to ride around with the word in your back window. Because when they see it, they're going to pull you over and take you. So you're going to have the word of God hidden in your heart in order for it to be there, to be a sustainer, a provider, an uplifting unto you. But it will be the word of God that you have committed to your memory and to your heart that is going to be able to keep you. So people of God, if you want to make it through what you're going through, if you want to make it through what's yet to come, because as they say, we ain't seen nothing yet. See, we able to turn on our TVs and all that violence and all that stuff we looking at, that's over there. But soon it's going to be right here. And when it comes to right here, the things that we're going through in our personal life, the issues that we face, and our kids bad, baby and them bad, and I can't do nothing with them, and all these folks on this job getting on my nerves, that stuff, it's not going to mount up to anything. It's not going to mean a heel of dry beans, as they say. But we're going to have to make sure that we are in the Word of God, that we have a good grip, a new grip. Don't come talking about, oh, I got saved at the right age of 6, and you know the Lord has been leading. God. No, what have you? What's been going on with you since 6 years old? Have you talked to the Lord since then? Other than when you in trouble, have you opened your Word since then to read and rightly divide the Word of truth in your own life? Have you understood the Word, the promises of God, to speak them into your own life, over your children, over your marriage, over your family, whatever the case may be? When was the last time? And we wonder why we slipping. We wondering why we acting like Lot's wife and keep wanting to turn and take that look back over our shoulder at what we thought was a good life. We're going to have to get a good grip. Those Olympians come out and they get ready to get on them balls. They get that sand, they get their hand in that sand, roll it in there, because they want to make sure that they're able to hang on through all of the slips, through all of the turns, through all of the bouncing around. They want to make sure that they are able to hold on. What are you doing to make sure that you're able to hold on?
All right.
People of God, we've got to get a good grip. Y'all pray my strength in the Lord.
Amen.